This listening task has two sections. Task 1.1 and Task 1.2. I'm going to give you the instruction for each section. You will have time to look at the questions and check your answers. At the beginning of each piece, you will hear this sound. You will hear each piece twice. Now look at Task 1.1. You will hear a radio program about a student called Fiona Doyle talking about living in the countryside after growing up in a city. For questions 1 to 13, complete the sentences with a word or short phrase from the audio. Write no more than 3 words and or a number. You now have 45 seconds to look at section 1.
My parents now both work from home, so they made the decision to move from our city centre flat to the countryside, although it meant big changes for the whole family. It was a winter evening when we first went to the village, and as we walked along the pavement, I remarked on how dark it was without the streetlights of the city, and how bright that made the lights of the cars seem as they approached. I also noticed the sound of running water, and when we reached the house, I was delighted to discover that it stood next to a little bridge over a stream. I soon decided I liked the house. It has thick stone walls, high ceilings, and wooden floors. The central heating keeps the temperature in all the rooms pleasant throughout the year, although during the colder months, those in the basement tend to get a bit damp, probably because of the stream. My room is actually on the other side of the house, so I don't hear it at night, which is a pity, really. I was used to the constant big city background noise of traffic and voices, and for a while after we moved in, I'd keep waking up in the middle of the night, owing to the total silence there. It doesn't bother me now, though, and these days I look forward to settling down for the night in my large, comfortable bed. I rarely stay up any later than when I was in the flat, and in the mornings I normally wake up at the same time, but there aren't the sounds of the city telling you it's time to get up, so I'm usually in far less of a hurry to do so. The atmosphere here is so relaxing, and I have a wonderful view from the window of my room. Whereas before, I'd see city wildlife like cats, dogs, and maybe the occasional fox. Here, I start the day to the sound of distant farm animals and the sight of rabbits in the open fields. Apparently, there are also deer around, though I haven't actually spotted any yet. The pace of life in the countryside is certainly slower, but I think I've adjusted pretty well to it. I must confess, though, that I can get a bit fed up with the speed of the internet connection here, compared with how fast it was in the flat downtown. In spite of that, I still manage to chat online with my friends there, more or less whenever I want, so I don't have the feeling of missing them that I thought I might have before I moved. There is, though, fairly weak mobile reception out here, sometimes no signal at all, and when that happens, I may not receive calls they're trying to make to me, which can be annoying. I suppose poor public transport is another disadvantage of living in the country. There isn't a railway station within 5 kilometres. It's nearly a 2-kilometre walk to get to a bus stop. And taxis charge a fortune to come out here. It's so different from where I grew up, where the buses stop right outside your home, or you can take the underground. You can live quite happily there without a car, but not here. People say, why not go by bike? but the reality is that it's just too far to ride anywhere from here, and dangerous on those country roads, especially in the dark. I'll just have to rely on my parents for lifts everywhere until I pass my driving test, which I hope will be before I go to university next year. Fortunately, it'll be a shorter drive from here than from where I used to live, and I'll avoid the awful traffic on the roads in and out of the city too.
Listen again to complete your answers.
My parents now both work from home, so they made the decision to move from our city centre flat to the countryside, although it meant big changes for the whole family. It was a winter evening when we first went to the village, and as we walked along the pavement, I remarked on how dark it was without the streetlights of the city, and how bright that made the lights of the cars seem as they approached. I also noticed the sound of running water, and when we reached the house, I was delighted to discover that it stood next to a little bridge over a stream. I soon decided I liked the house. It has thick stone walls, high ceilings, and wooden floors. The central heating keeps the temperature in all the rooms pleasant throughout the year, although during the colder months, those in the basement tend to get a bit damp, probably because of the stream. My room is actually on the other side of the house, so I don't hear it at night, which is a pity, really. I was used to the constant big city background noise of traffic and voices, and for a while after we moved in, I'd keep waking up in the middle of the night owing to the total silence there. It doesn't bother me now, though, and these days I look forward to settling down for the night in my large, comfortable bed. I rarely stay up any later than when I was in the flat, and in the mornings I normally wake up at the same time, but there aren't the sounds of the city telling you it's time to get up, so I'm usually in far less of a hurry to do so. The atmosphere here is so relaxing, and I have a wonderful view from the window of my room. Whereas before, I'd see city wildlife like cats, dogs, and maybe the occasional fox, here, I start the day to the sound of distant farm animals and the sight of rabbits in the open fields. Apparently, there are also deer around, though I haven't actually spotted any yet. The pace of life in the countryside is certainly slower, but I think I've adjusted pretty well to it. I must confess, though, that I can get a bit fed up with the speed of the internet connection here, compared with how fast it was in the flat downtown. In spite of that, I still manage to chat online with my friends there, more or less whenever I want, so I don't have the feeling of missing them that I thought I might have before I moved. There is, though, fairly weak mobile reception out here, sometimes no signal at all, and when that happens, I may not receive calls they're trying to make to me, which can be annoying. I suppose poor public transport is another disadvantage of living in the country. There isn't a railway station within 5 kilometres. It's nearly a 2 kilometre walk to get to a bus stop. And taxis charge a fortune to come out here. It's so different from where I grew up, where the buses stop right outside your home, or you can take the underground. You can live quite happily there without a car, but not here. People say, why not go by bike? But the reality is that it's just too far to ride anywhere from here, and dangerous on those country roads, especially in the dark. I'll just have to rely on my parents for lifts everywhere until I pass my driving test, which I hope will be before I go to university next year. Fortunately, it'll be a shorter drive from here than from where I used to live, and I'll avoid the awful traffic on the roads in and out of the city too.
This is the end of task 1.1. You now have 20 seconds to check your answers. Now turn to task 1.2. You will hear an interview with a woman called Pamela Green, who is a young fashion designer. For questions 14 to 20, choose the best answer, A, B, or C. You now have 45 seconds to look at section 2.
Hello, Pamela. Welcome to the programme. So many young people want to be fashion designers these days, but don't know how to get started.
Hi. I felt exactly like that myself. You must first discover if this is really what you want to do. I wasn't sure to begin with, so I started off by looking for a store in my neighbourhood that sold its own clothes. The owner invited me into her studio and told me what a typical day was like. She allowed me to ask as many questions as I wanted. Having made up my mind, I then contacted a few colleges to see what courses in fashion were on offer, and I was lucky to find one that seemed ideal.
So a degree in fashion is a must?
Well, you often meet designers who go to college later in life, after years of working in the industry. The truth is, the best students aren't always the best designers, but there's no denying that a degree will show that you've got certain basic skills and get you your first job. Don't be surprised to find colleagues with fewer qualifications on higher pay than yourself, though. Making progress from that point will depend entirely on your personal talent.
What basic skills do you need?
When you ask a fashion student what they want to do, they often reply, "Have my own line." Not an easy task, I must say. You need work experience first, ideally in a successful fashion shop, to understand that this industry is led by commerce. Starting your own line requires capital and a clear overview of how it's going to develop. Without it, clothes design can only be a hobby. Of course, if you've got an eye for colour, style and shape and an ability to draw, you shouldn't let go of the dream.
Where do you get the inspiration for your designs?
To be a good designer, you have to be aware of the world you live in. You need to go out and look at people's lives and attitudes. You really have to learn how to observe what's happening around you. And I don't mean going abroad necessarily. My social circle is invaluable for me, for example, a constant source of ideas. You have to remember the clothes are not for you. You have to adapt to what other people want. And don't be tempted to imitate the famous designers, however beautiful their collections might look.
Now you're a successful designer, are things easier?
It took me a while to learn to cope with criticism, though. You think your design drawings look brilliant, but you mustn't get upset if the garment doesn't look as you'd imagined it. What I've never managed to get used to is the sheer amount of work involved in finishing your collection well in advance of the season. Some designers stop attending fashion shows, for example, which involve lots of time-consuming travelling, but I'd be unhappy to give that up.
Do you have to do a lot of reading to keep up with trends?
You have to read fashion magazines and other media that reflect current trends and tastes. It doesn't matter whether you want to use them in your own designs. Nobody knows what styles will be fashionable in, say, 2 years' time. But the point is, you have to know just about everything that's been done before so that you can spot it when it becomes popular again.
This is a very competitive industry. Realistically, what are the chances for somebody starting?
Don't make the mistake of aiming just for designing outfits, which is just one part of a vast industry. You may be perfectly happy as an obscure but competent designer of small pieces for collections, jewellery, hats, shoes, all of which need to be created. And then somebody has to market them, sell them, write about them. Fame and glory is just for the top 20 world designers, and life isn't always wonderful, even for them.
Pamela, many thanks.
Listen again to complete your answers.
Hello, Pamela. Welcome to the programme. So many young people want to be fashion designers these days, but don't know how to get started.
Hi. I felt exactly like that myself. You must first discover if this is really what you want to do. I wasn't sure to begin with, so I started off by looking for a store in my neighbourhood that sold its own clothes. The owner invited me into her studio and told me what a typical day was like. She allowed me to ask as many questions as I wanted. Having made up my mind, I then contacted a few colleges to see what courses in fashion were on offer, and I was lucky to find one that seemed ideal.
So a degree in fashion is a must?
Well, you often meet designers who go to college later in life, after years of working in the industry. The truth is, the best students aren't always the best designers, but there's no denying that a degree will show that you've got certain basic skills and get you your first job. Don't be surprised to find colleagues with fewer qualifications on higher pay than yourself, though. Making progress from that point will depend entirely on your personal talent.
What basic skills do you need?
When you ask a fashion student what they want to do, they often reply, "Have my own line." Not an easy task, I must say. You need work experience first, ideally in a successful fashion shop, to understand that this industry is led by commerce. Starting your own line requires capital and a clear overview of how it's going to develop. Without it, clothes design can only be a hobby. Of course, if you've got an eye for colour, style and shape and an ability to draw, you shouldn't let go of the dream.
Where do you get the inspiration for your designs?
To be a good designer, you have to be aware of the world you live in. You need to go out and look at people's lives and attitudes. You really have to learn how to observe what's happening around you. And I don't mean going abroad necessarily. My social circle is invaluable for me, for example, a constant source of ideas. You have to remember the clothes are not for you. You have to adapt to what other people want. And don't be tempted to imitate the famous designers, however beautiful their collections might look.
Now you're a successful designer, are things easier?
It took me a while to learn to cope with criticism, though. You think your design drawings look brilliant, but you mustn't get upset if the garment doesn't look as you'd imagined it. What I've never managed to get used to is the sheer amount of work involved in finishing your collection well in advance of the season. Some designers stop attending fashion shows, for example, which involve lots of time-consuming travelling, but I'd be unhappy to give that up.
Do you have to do a lot of reading to keep up with trends?
You have to read fashion magazines and other media that reflect current trends and tastes. It doesn't matter whether you want to use them in your own designs. Nobody knows what styles will be fashionable in, say, 2 years' time. But the point is, you have to know just about everything that's been done before so that you can spot it when it becomes popular again.
This is a very competitive industry. Realistically, what are the chances for somebody starting?
Don't make the mistake of aiming just for designing outfits, which is just one part of a vast industry. You may be perfectly happy as an obscure but competent designer of small pieces for collections, jewellery, hats, shoes, all of which need to be created. And then somebody has to market them, sell them, write about them. Fame and glory is just for the top 20 world designers, and life isn't always wonderful, even for them.
Pamela, many thanks.
This is the end of task 1.2.